Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of, 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Fishing had always been a favorite pastime of mine, a way to escape the stress of work and reconnect with nature. One weekend, my friend Alex and I decided to try our luck at a lake we had never visited before, nestled deep in the woods. We had heard rumors about the lake's excellent fishing, but also some unsettling tales about strange occurrences in the area. We dismissed the stories as mere campfire tales and set off with our gear, eager for a weekend of relaxation. The drive was long and the road winding, but we finally arrived at the lake as the sun was setting. It was a beautiful spot, surrounded by dense forest and bathed in the golden glow of the evening light. We quickly set up our camp near the water's edge and prepared our fishing rods. As night fell, we settled into our chairs, casting our lines into the still water. The moonlight reflected off the surface, creating an almost magical atmosphere. We chatted about work, family, and life, enjoying the peace and quiet. It was the perfect escape. A few hours into our fishing, we noticed something strange. A dense fog began to roll in from the far side of the lake, creeping across the water and slowly enveloping the shoreline. It was unusual, but we didn't think much of it at first, assuming it was just a natural phenomenon. As the fog grew thicker, the atmosphere became eerie. The sounds of the forest seemed to fade away, replaced by an oppressive silence. I felt a chill run down my spine, but I tried to shake it off, focusing on my fishing. "Did you hear that?" Alex suddenly asked, breaking the silence. "Hear what?" I replied, my voice sounding too loud in the stillness. "Listen," he whispered. I strained my ears and heard it, a faint splash, followed by a soft, rhythmic sound, like oars dipping into the water. I turned my head, squinting into the fog, but couldn't see anything. "Maybe it's another fisherman," I suggested, though the idea seemed unlikely given the remoteness of the lake. The sounds grew louder, and through the thick fog, we saw a small rowboat emerging. And it was a lone figure, dressed in old-fashioned fishing gear, rowing steadily towards us. The boat glided through the water with an almost unnatural smoothness, and as it approached, I felt a growing sense of unease.
"Hello there,"
Alex called out, trying to sound friendly. The figure didn't respond. As the boat drew closer, we could see the fisherman more clearly. His face was obscured by the brim of a wide hat, and his clothes looked worn and tattered. There was something off about him, something that made my skin crawl. The boat came to a stop a few yards from our camp, and the fisherman finally looked up. His eyes were hollow, empty, and his face was gaunt and pale, like that of a corpse. He stared at us with an intensity that sent a shiver down my spine.
"What do you want?"
Alex asked, his voice trembling. The fisherman remained silent, his gaze fixed on us. The air grew colder, and the fog seemed to thicken around us, isolating us from the rest of the world. My heart pounded in my chest as I realized that this was no ordinary man. "We need to get out of here," I whispered to Alex, my voice barely audible. We slowly began to gather our gear, trying to keep our movements calm and steady. The fisherman continued to watch us, his eyes never leaving our faces. The tension was unbearable, and I could feel my hands shaking as I packed up my rod and tackle box. Just as we were about to leave, the fisherman's boat began to drift closer. Panic surged through me, and I grabbed Alex's arm. "Now, go!" I shouted. We bolted for the car, the fisherman's empty gaze burning into our backs. The fog seemed to cling to us, making it difficult to see the path. We stumbled and tripped over roots and rocks, but we didn't stop. The sounds of the oars dipping into the water followed us, a haunting reminder of the spectral presence behind us. We reached the car, throwing our gear into the trunk and jumping into the front seats. Alex fumbled with the keys, his hands shaking so badly he could barely get the key into the ignition. Finally, the engine roared to life, and we sped away from the lake, the fisherman's figure disappearing into the fog behind us. The drive home was silent, both of us too shaken to speak. My mind raced with questions and fear. Who, or what, was that fisherman? Was he a ghost, a specter doomed to haunt the lake for eternity? When we finally reached home, we vowed never to return to that lake. The peaceful escape we had sought had turned into a nightmare, and the memory of the phantom fisherman haunted my dreams for weeks. I couldn't shake the feeling of his hollow eyes watching me, the sound of his oars echoing in my mind. My friend Mark and I had been planning a fishing trip for weeks. We chose a remote lake deep in the forest, far from any signs of civilization.
Offer valid on standard browsers, U.S. only.
When I heard about Date My Age, I thought, really? But there I was in my empty, quiet house, my laptop on the kitchen counter, and I typed in my name. Looking for a man between the ages of 40 to 60? Sure, why not?
Date My Age is different. With verified profiles, you can feel safe and secure to explore meaningful connections with interesting and mature singles.
Date My Age made it really easy. I could join and view online profiles for free. All of a sudden, my empty house wasn't so quiet anymore. I got so much attention, it just made me feel seen and alive. Date My Age helped me start a totally new chapter in my life.
Find a friend, a lover, a partner at Date My Age. Get 60% off when you join at datemyage.com today. That's datemyage.com to connect with thousands of singles worldwide. datemyage.com.
It was supposed to be the perfect getaway, just two friends, a tent, and plenty of fish to catch. The drive took several hours, and by the time we arrived, the sun was beginning to set, casting long shadows across the trees. We parked the car and hiked down a narrow, overgrown path to the lake. The air was crisp, and the only sounds were the occasional calls of birds and the rustling of leaves. As we approached the lake, we noticed an old, abandoned campsite on the shore. The remains of a fire pit, a few rusted tent stakes, and some scattered trash suggested that it hadn't been used in years. "Looks like someone didn't have a great time here," Mark joked, kicking at a rusty can. "Yeah, no kidding," I replied, feeling a slight unease. "Let's set up our camp a little further down." We found a nice spot by the water, about 50 yards from the abandoned site. We pitched our tent, started a fire, and settled in for the night. The tranquility of the lake was soothing, and the smell of pine trees and the sound of water gently lapping against the shore helped us relax. After dinner, we decided to cast our lines and try our luck at some night fishing. We talked and laughed as we fished, sharing stories and enjoying the peaceful night. But as the hours passed, the atmosphere began to change. It started with a faint rustling sound from the abandoned camp. I glanced over, but the darkness revealed nothing. I shrugged it off as a raccoon or some other animal scavenging for food. But the rustling continued, growing louder and more persistent. "Do you hear that?" Mark asked, his voice tinged with concern. "Yeah, probably just an animal," I said, trying to sound confident. But deep down, I felt a growing sense of unease. We tried to focus on our fishing, but the noises from the abandoned camp became impossible to ignore. It sounded like footsteps, slow and deliberate, moving through the underbrush. We exchanged worried glances, the fun and laughter of earlier replaced by tension and fear. Suddenly, we saw a shadowy figure moving between the trees, heading towards our camp. My heart pounded in my chest as I grabbed my flashlight and shone it in the direction of the movement. The beam of light revealed nothing but darkness and foliage. "Maybe we should check it out," Mark suggested, though his voice wavered. "Are you crazy? Let's just stay here and keep the fire going," I replied, my fear evident. The noises continued, now accompanied by whispers, low and indistinct, but undeniably human. The sound of twigs snapping and leaves rustling grew closer, and the feeling of being watched became overwhelming. "I think we should leave," I said, my voice shaking. "This isn't right." Before Mark could respond, we heard a loud crack, like a branch breaking underfoot, followed by a series of hurried footsteps. The figure emerged from the shadows, darting towards our camp. It was tall and gaunt, with wild eyes and tattered clothes. We both froze in terror as it approached. "Who are you? What do you want?" I shouted, trying to keep my voice steady. The figure didn't answer. Instead, it stopped a few feet from our fire, staring at us with an intensity that made my skin crawl. The whispers grew louder, surrounding us, coming from all directions. I felt a chill run down my spine, and the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Mark grabbed a burning log from the fire and held it out like a weapon. "Stay back," he yelled, but the figure didn't flinch. In a sudden, desperate move, the figure lunged at us. Mark swung the log, hitting it squarely in the arm. The figure staggered back, letting out a guttural scream that echoed through the night. We took the opportunity to grab our gear and run towards the car. We didn't look back as we sprinted through the forest, the sound of our own footsteps and ragged breaths the only things we could hear. The whispers and footsteps seemed to follow us, growing fainter as we neared the car. We threw our gear into the trunk and jumped in, locking the doors behind us. As we sped down the narrow road, the adrenaline pumping through our veins, I glanced in the rearview mirror. The figure stood at the edge of the forest, watching us with those wild, haunting eyes until it disappeared from sight. We drove in silence, the fear and shock of the encounter still gripping us. When we finally reached home, we didn't speak of what had happened. The memory was too terrifying to relive. The experience left a deep scar, a constant reminder of the dangers that can lurk in the most unexpected places. The abandoned camp had seemed like a harmless relic of the past, but it held dark secrets that we had been unfortunate enough to encounter. The memory of that wild-eyed figure and the eerie whispers haunted my dreams, a constant reminder that sometimes, the past doesn't stay buried. My friends and I had planned a weekend fishing trip to a secluded mountain lake that was rumored to be teeming with fish. The idea was to escape the stress of our daily lives, enjoy the fresh air, and hopefully catch a few big ones. We had heard stories about the lake, some saying it was haunted, others claiming there was something living in its depths. We laughed off the tales and set off with our gear, ready for a fun and relaxing weekend. We arrived at the lake just before sunset. It was a beautiful sight. The water was still and glassy, reflecting the dense forest that surrounded it. we set up our campsite near the shore, built a fire, and prepared our fishing rods. As night fell, the full moon cast an eerie glow over the lake, making the shadows seem to dance on the water's surface. We were all in high spirits, joking and laughing as we cast our lines and waited for a bite. The quiet of the night was only broken by the occasional splash of a fish or the rustling of leaves in the breeze. It felt like the perfect getaway, but as the hours passed, the atmosphere began to change. It started with a strange noise coming from the lake. At first, it was faint, like a distant ripple, but it grew louder and more persistent. It sounded like something large moving through the water, but we couldn't see anything in the darkness. "Did you hear that?" my friend Jake asked, peering out over the water. "Probably just a fish," I replied, trying to keep my voice steady. But deep down, I felt a growing unease. We continued fishing, trying to ignore the sounds. But then, Jake's line suddenly went taut, and he struggled to reel it in. "I've got something big," he exclaimed, excitement in his voice. We all gathered around, eager to see what he had caught. As he pulled on the line, the water began to churn violently. The silhouette of a massive, shadowy shape emerged from the depths, sending a wave of panic through us. It was unlike anything we had ever seen, huge, dark, and with an ominous presence that made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. "Let it go, Jake!" I shouted, but he was too caught up in the moment to listen. The creature broke the surface, its enormous form partially illuminated by the moonlight. It had rough, scaly skin and eyes that seemed to glow with an eerie light. The sight of it filled me with a primal fear, and I knew we had to get out of there. "Start the boat!" I yelled to my other friends. "We need to get back to shore." They scrambled to the small motorboat we had tied to the dock, trying to start the engine. Meanwhile, Jake's struggle with the creature intensified. The boat rocked violently, and I feared it would capsize. In a desperate attempt to help, I grabbed a fishing net and tried to assist him, but the creature was too strong. With a final, mighty pull, the creature snapped the line, sending Jake sprawling backwards. It then turned its attention to our boat, circling it with a menacing grace. The engine finally roared to life, and we began to move, but the creature wasn't done with us yet. It rammed the boat, causing it to lurch violently. We all screamed, holding on for dear life. The creature's attacks grew more aggressive, and I could feel the boat's structure weakening under the assault. "Hold on!" I shouted, as we sped towards the shore. The creature continued to chase us, its glowing eyes fixed on our boat. The fear in my chest was overwhelming, and I could see the same terror reflected in my friends' faces. We finally reached the shore, jumping out of the boat and scrambling up the bank. The creature stopped at the water's edge, watching us with those haunting eyes before sinking back into the depths. We collapsed on the ground, panting and trembling from the ordeal. We didn't sleep at all that night. We sat around the fire, too scared to venture back to the water or even close our eyes. The tranquility of the lake had been shattered by the night's events, and the eerie quiet now felt oppressive and threatening. As dawn broke, we decided to pack up and leave. The thought of staying another night was unbearable. We loaded our gear into the car and drove away, the lake's dark waters fading into the distance. The drive home was silent, each of us lost in our own thoughts, replaying the terrifying encounter over and over. When we finally reached home, we swore never to speak of what had happened. Who would believe us anyway? The experience had left a deep scar, a reminder of the unknown dangers that can lurk beneath the surface of even the most peaceful places. From that day on, I was wary of night fishing, especially in remote and secluded areas. The memory of those glowing eyes and the creature's relentless pursuit haunted my dreams.
fishing had always been my escape from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. The quiet, the solitude, and the peaceful sounds of nature provided a sense of tranquility I couldn't find anywhere else. One night, I decided to head out to a remote riverbank known for its excellent fishing. I packed my gear, some snacks, and a flashlight, and set out with the excitement of a peaceful night ahead. The drive to the river was uneventful, the winding road lit only by my headlights cutting through the darkness. I arrived at my favorite spot, a secluded bend in the river surrounded by dense trees. The moon was hidden behind thick clouds, and the only light came from my flashlight and the faint glow of the stars. I set up my gear, settled into my camping chair, and cast my line into the water. The night was calm, with the gentle sounds of the river flowing and the occasional rustle of leaves in the breeze. I lost track of time, completely immersed in the serenity. I had caught a few fish, nothing too impressive, but enough to keep me content. As the hours passed, I started to feel a strange sense of unease, as if I was being watched. I glanced around, shining my flashlight into the trees on the opposite riverbank. The beam of light revealed nothing but shadows and foliage, and I chuckled at myself for being paranoid. I returned to my fishing, but the feeling of being watched didn't go away. In fact, it grew stronger with each passing minute. Suddenly, I heard a rustling sound from the trees across the river. It was louder than the usual nocturnal wildlife noises. My heart rate quickened as I focused my flashlight on the area where the sound had come from. Again, I saw nothing. I told myself it was probably just a deer or some other animal, but deep down, I wasn't convinced. I tried to shake off the feeling and concentrate on my fishing, but then I heard it again, footsteps. This time, they were unmistakable. Slow, deliberate, and coming closer. I shone my flashlight across the river, and my breath caught in my throat. There, standing on the opposite bank, was a dark figure. The figure didn't move, didn't make a sound, just stood there, watching me. I felt a chill run down my spine. "Hello?" I called out, my voice trembling slightly. "Who's there?" There was no response, just the continued stare of the figure. I felt an overwhelming urge to pack up and leave, but I was frozen with fear. The figure started to move, stepping closer to the water's edge. Panic surged through me. I fumbled with my gear, trying to pack up as quickly as possible without taking my eyes off the figure. As I hurriedly stuffed my belongings into my bag, the figure stepped into the river. I watched in horror as it began to wade across, the water reaching up to its knees, then its waist. I grabbed my flashlight and my fishing rod, the only items I hadn't packed, and stood up, ready to defend myself if necessary. The figure reached the middle of the river, the current not seeming to affect it at all. I could see it more clearly now. It was a man, tall and gaunt, with hollow eyes that seemed to bore into my soul. "Stay back," I shouted, my voice echoing through the night. But he didn't stop. He kept coming, his eyes never leaving mine. My heart was pounding in my chest, and I felt a wave of nausea wash over me. I backed up towards my car, my flashlight shaking in my hand. The man reached the riverbank and stepped onto the shore, water dripping from his clothes. He was only a few feet away now, and I could see the malevolent intent in his eyes. In a desperate move, I swung my fishing rod at him, the end of it catching him in the chest. He staggered back, momentarily stunned, and I took the opportunity to run. I bolted towards my car, my legs feeling like lead. I could hear his footsteps behind me, gaining on me. I reached my car, yanked the door open, and threw myself inside. I slammed the door shut and locked it just as he reached the car. He pounded on the window, his face twisted in rage. I fumbled with the keys, my hands shaking so badly I could barely get the key into the ignition. Finally, The engine roared to life, and I floored the gas pedal. The tires spun on the gravel for a moment before gaining traction, and I sped away from the river, the man's figure disappearing into the darkness behind me. I drove as fast as I could, my heart pounding, my mind racing with what had just happened. I didn't stop until I reached the nearest town, where I pulled into a brightly lit gas station and collapsed against the steering wheel, trying to catch my breath. I was safe, but the fear lingered. Who was that man? Why was he out there? And what would have happened if he had caught me? The drive home was a blur, my mind replaying the night's events over and over. I couldn't shake the feeling of those hollow eyes watching me, the sound of his footsteps chasing me. I knew I couldn't go back to that river, at least not alone, and certainly not at night. The experience left me shaken and wary of night fishing in remote places. I still enjoyed fishing, but I made sure to go during the day and always with friends. The peaceful escape I had once found in fishing had been tainted by that night, a reminder that danger can lurk even in the most serene places.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.